everyone. I'm Kristen Howerton, a writer and a psychotherapist.
And I'm Rue Powell, an admitted workaholic and self-care Luddite.
And you are listening to Selfie, a weekly podcast about women learning to take better care of themselves.
We think self-care is important, but it can simultaneously be elusive. We don't lack information about it, but we don't always quite get there.
So this podcast is dedicated to exploring different aspects of self-care, from the silly to the serious. We're looking at health, relationships, beauty, periods, and maybe a touch of the random.
We also want to look at the hurdles we face that keep us from caring for ourselves like we should.
To submit questions to me or Rue, or to Claire, our beauty expert, or BJ, our resident therapist, join us in our private forum by searching Selfie Podcast Community on Facebook. Hey guys, well, in today's episode, we're going to be chatting with Kendra Adachi. She is the author of a new book called The Lazy Genius, which shot up to New York Times bestseller its first week out. I am such a fan of Kendra. If you do not follow her on Instagram, I can't recommend it enough. She is a person who is just full of a lot of really good life hacks, and life hacks that are relatable, that are doable. She jokingly calls herself the lazy genius because she is all about working smarter, not harder. And she and I have a really fun conversation that I think you'll enjoy. We're also going to be hearing from BJ. BJ is answering two questions from listeners. One is, what are some self-care strategies for essential workers? So if you are an essential worker or know and love one, this is something you'll want to listen to. And then she's also answering the question, why does self-care make me feel guilty? Which I think is a really interesting question. Anyway, Rue, hey, how are you doing?
I am well. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
So let's see. My self-care, you know, I feel like I'm still getting systems in place.
Yeah.
It's the balance of, you know, you're doing the same thing, like the schooling and also the working and also the parenting. So I think, you know, now I've moved from just being my girl's parent to also being their parent and teacher. And that's been something that I kind of have to balance. Along with, you know, writing and working and making sure I have time for self-care. So I just read a blog post by Laura Vanderkam, and she had interviewed Anne Bogle, Modern Mrs. Darcy. She's
yes.
written a couple books. And she talked about thinking of everything like a Ferris wheel. So each, you know, bucket on the Ferris wheel is a bucket in your life. And as it rotates to the top, you try to give it attention, and then it rotates again. It's kind of like you're looping those things. So if I think about the buckets, you know, I kind of narrowed it down to six, and I need to kind of let all of those loop, especially the self-care one, because that one is the one that's the first thing to neglect.
Totally.
So I realized that, you know, the girls don't need me to be the number one best teacher. I just need to be, you know, like my expectations for this year are pretty low.
Yes.
In that, like, okay, some language arts, some math, and the rest is gravy, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're kind of, I mean, that sounds terrible, but like this year is really about kind of, I don't know, like I'm not worried about testing or extracurriculars anything.
I don't think
like
it sounds
that.
Terrible. I think it sounds reasonable. Like that's all we can do. Get through the year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the same for the schools too. So it was the night before our district went to school, a bunch of, you know, parents found out that for the upper grades are only doing half days twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so 3 days they're home and then 2 half days they're home. And then some parents found out that some teachers are only working from home. So the days their kids go to school half day, they're sitting in a classroom and their instructor is Zooming in from home.
Oh, interesting.
And they have a proctor. And so it's kind of like there's this all of this like, okay, so I have to monitor my kids at home doing like all the Zoom and distance learning. And now they have to go to school where their teachers are Zooming and distance learning. And I think it's just so chaotic. And I feel for every parent and teacher and administrator that I think we should be looking for, like, what is, you know, in tech, what's the MVP? What's the minimum of viable product? And that's kind of where I am. I'm like, what is, how low can this bar go? And
oh,
let's
I
just
feel
meet
that.
it.
I feel that. Like, I really, in my head, I'm like, okay, what do they have to know to be able to, like, go back into school next year? And right. I'm like, you know, I mean, we got to keep up on the math because that's kind of cumulative and probably on the, so, you know, the writing skills. But I'm like, you know, if they kind of, like, don't have the best history year, that could be made up. Like, so much yes. of it can be made up.
Science, chemistry lab?
Yeah. Eh.
Although I will say the one thing that we've been doing every morning that I really like is we watch CNN 10, which yes. is just it's like so a 10 minute recap of the news yeah. and they have it every day. And I think I'm like, okay, there's your social studies.
Totally. Oh my gosh, totally. And I've been trying to like look for like historical movies and like, okay, we're going to watch history movies or we've been watching Crash Course in History.
Oh yeah, those are great.
Which are great, yeah. But like, yeah, I've totally let go. I mean, I think that that's so important that we just really lower our expectations of ourselves and of our kids. It's not going to be their star year.
I'm trying to figure out, I'm like, how can I do a unit study around live action Mulan? Because that's, you know, that's what we're going to watch that. And,
of course. We have on our calendar to watch Mulan. Right?
And I'm sure they can, I'm like, you can, Remy, you can write a paper about that. That should be fine. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. An exploration into the culture of that time. Yes. This is a total history lesson.
Yeah, so that's so
gender
that's
norms.
What we're doing.
Yeah,
right. So that's how I'm juggling it. I'm using the Ferris wheel analogy
I
to
like that.
Try to swing everything around. How about you? How's your self-care going?
You know, it's going pretty well, which is surprising because I feel like in many ways I'm kind of at the apex of the stress that I was experiencing, which is the kids are back in school, which, you know, I had a ton of stress about. Mm-hmm. They're at school from home, which right. I have a ton of stress about. But it's almost like I spent the summer in a really heightened state of stress worrying about the fall. And now that it's here, I'm like, we can do this. Like, you know, I almost feel like I stressed preemptively and it's not as bad as I thought it would be. I mean, it's bad. But
look, it ain't good.
It's not good. But, you know, I think I've come to a radical acceptance place, you know, of just like, this is where we are. This is where the world is right now. I mean, I don't want to say that I've accepted the world politically because I have not. But just in right. terms of where our family is on a day to day, like that we are learning from home, that I am not working much at all. Like I've that's tough, but I think I've sort of grieved that loss.
Yeah.
And many, many, you know, articles and think pieces have been written about how so many moms are really having to sacrifice their career in the midst of this. And like, I kind of am. Like, I'm not writing another book. I'm not really doing anything right now. Because if I try to do something and parent, it's very difficult. So
yeah.
I've kind of let that go, which means the money is a little fraught, but my mental health is better for it. It really right. is.
I, you know, I'm bummed that it's 2020 and that we're dealing with this pandemic mm-hmm. and the emotional load
yeah.
still goes to the moms.
It still does.
For the lion's share of it. And that's obviously not every family, but it does seem like I don't see too many men going, oh no, how is this going to affect my career trajectory?
No. Nor were they worrying about how, you know, in general, obviously, but most of the people that I saw in Facebook groups that, you know, that were dedicated to like what's happening with school in the fall or my school's Facebook group, my community Facebook group, rarely was it men entering the conversation saying, what's happening with school? Should we write letters to the board? Like, it's all the moms. It's all the yeah. moms that are following all this news and figuring it all out and making the decisions. And I mean, case in point, my ex, you know, I at one point said like, hey, where are you at with all these school choices? You know, I mean, there's a lot of decisions that need to be made. And he said, just whatever you do is fine.
Yeah.
Which is nice that he gave me the power, but at the same time, like, then I have the mental load by myself.
Right.
And I think that's just true for so many women.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate and it's definitely disheartening. So I understand, but you should, like, do you wish you were working more? I mean, not even, like, let's say money wasn't a concern. Would you still like to be working more?
I mean, yes. My ideal world is the kids are back in school and I have the freedom to work. But for me, trying to get work done while I'm being interrupted multiple times a day by school. And it's not that I'm not working at all, but I have just massively pulled back. Mm-hmm. If I was trying to do what I was doing last fall, and I was doing this last fall, I'm sorry, last spring. Last spring, you know, they went to distance learning in March. My kids were in school till the end of June. So there was 2 months where I was working full time with them at home, and I was losing it.
Yeah.
I was losing it. So I just, for myself, both because the kids are in school, but also because I think this is true for most people, my mental capacity is just impaired right now with everything going on in the world. And I think that's true for most of us. Things take longer than they should. Getting our brain into gear takes longer than it should. And that's the collective trauma of living through a pandemic and living through civil unrest and everything that we're watching in the news. I think most of us are feeling like we're working at maybe 50% of our capacity. That's definitely true for me.
Well, I think, you know, circling back to what we said earlier, it's kind of like lowering the bar for everything else, too. Are our expectations for ourselves lower? Or are we still holding ourselves to task? Is my expectation for, like, my laundry lower? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I would not want you to see my hallway right now. You know, the hallway that leads to the washer and dryer?
I have that laundry. Sitting on the floor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, that's a really good way to put it. If we're all going through collective trauma, does it make sense for all of us to just really put our mental wellness first? I think so.
I mean, and I want to say this too. It is a massive privilege, and I recognize it, that I can kind of work part-time and still make it. And I know not everyone has that privilege. Some people can't say, oh, I'm going to pull back on work a little bit because they've got to work to survive. You know, my heart goes out to the people that are in that situation because this is a very tough time for people.
Yeah, same. I mean, I feel like I have the privilege to be able to keep my kids home from school.
Right.
And, you know, purchase a curriculum and, you know, do that with them. Whereas, you know, other people, there's just no choice but to send them regardless of circumstances or whatever. So at the same time, like, it's still hard, you know, all of it's hard.
It is. Well, what do you have for two thumbs up this week?
Oh, okay. So, you know, I really am a sucker for a good pen and a notebook. Mm-hmm. And I have a problem. My biggest gripe with notebooks is notebooks that don't lay flat open.
Oh, yeah.
When you're trying to write in them.
Yes.
And so the Rollbon notebook is cool. It's spiral, but it's like not a 5-star. You know, it's a fancy spiral. Mm-hmm. And it comes with grid paper, which I really like. I love a dot grid. And it doesn't have a dot grid, but it's still a grid, which I'm into. So I also feel, especially because I'm in this phase where I want, you know, because I'm dealing with this book proposal idea, that I want to be like a really self-important writer. So I'm like, oh, I need a better notebook right now. And I need like John Steinbeck's pencils and whatever. Yeah. So anyway, this notebook makes me feel good. And I feel like any small purchase that makes me feel good is a win. And the other is, you know, we all tried it out. We did like 3 months of looking like garbage, of, you know, not dyeing our hair or cutting it and not wearing makeup. And once we knew we were in it for the long haul, I realized that I needed to find a way to split the difference. Like, I'm not blowing out my hair, but I don't want to look like a swamp monster all the time.
Yes.
Anyway, I found this really cute little eyeshadow quad. It's the Butter London Little Londoner. Ooh. And it's very pretty packaging, and there are just 4 colors, and I really like it, and they're really nicely pigmented, and it feels good, and it feels, you know, kind of special in the morning to just put a little eyeshadow brush into it and just do, like, take 1 minute to do a little eye makeup. And suddenly I feel like I'm ready for the day. Like, I'm really a big advocate of getting out of my PJs. And so getting out of my PJs into an outfit and doing my makeup and, you know, that feels good. Then I feel like I'm ready to start my day, whether it's, you know, homeschooling or you know, slogging it out in front of my computer for a bit.
Oh my gosh, totally. I completely agree. Okay, I'm looking at this palette because I buy half of the things you mention. I hope you know.
Yay.
I really do. Like, you talked about some, like, blush wand stick a couple weeks ago. It came yesterday. I ordered it.
Oh, do you like it?
I do. I do.
Oh, good.
But, okay, I have questions about this palette because... I want to know, so it's four colors. There's like a smoky gray, there's like a gold, then there's like a copper, and then there's like a creamy peachy. Mm-hmm. Where do you put these colors? Like, do you have a, you know, do you have a set, like, I put this on the crease and this and
yes. Like, yes. I'm so curious. That lighter color, I do a wash all over the lid.
Okay.
And that darker color is like a darker brown.
Yes.
And so I actually use like a really small, dense brush and I use that in lieu of eyeliner.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And so I do that all over the top lid and then I bring it up to this, like the slightest little wing.
Yeah.
And then I just do the bottom eyelashes. I just do the corners. And then that peachy color, I put in the center of my lid. And I line the rest of the bottom with the peachy color to kind of brighten them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the green, that greenish, do you see a dark green?
I think it's gray. Yeah, it's a gray green.
Okay.
Yes.
I really like that color for just like a little bit. I'll add that to kind of like the outer corner for a little bit of, you know,
I like these colors. Yeah.
A zhuzh. Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, I really like that. And it took me a while to get the hang of it because every time I try to do my eyeshadow, you know, ages ago with like whatever palette I had, my eyes would always just look a little dirty. But going this route, like, it's just basically entire lid and then eyeliner and then a little bit in the crease, like a little in the corner. And it's, yeah, I like it.
Okay, I'm totally buying that.
And you know what? Also, because I'm not doing, like, you know, you've cut back on how often you go. Like, you're not going to the salon yet, are you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, so I haven't gotten anything done. So
no,
I've given
me
up.
Either.
I've given up eyelash extensions and lash lifts and all of that.
Yeah.
And I noticed that going from getting lash lifts, which is basically a lash perm,
right,
to nothing is a little bit – I feel like the eyeshadow helps compensate for the fact that I'm no longer
– yeah.
I'm not going to go and have some woman put her face like 2 inches from mine.
Oh, totally.
To fix my eyelashes.
No, I mean, I haven't even been to the hair salon. I've been dyeing my own roots at home, but like I usually have – and I do that. I've always done that. But I usually have somebody running highlights through the whole thing every couple months. And there's no highlights left. Like, now I'm just like dirty, dirty brown all over. You know?
Yeah.
There's no highlights.
I trimmed my hair myself. Last night, I parted my hair down the middle and put it back in a ponytail. And I took the tweezers out and I just yanked like 30 gray hairs.
You are funny. Well, I have too many to do that with. But yeah, I have not had my hair trimmed, and I'm reaching like sister wife lengths of hair.
Oh, you got Duggar hair.
Oh my gosh. My hair is way below my bra strap, and so are my daughter's. And I've been thinking I need to take a picture of the three of us from the back. I mean, we've never had our hair this long.
Oh my gosh.
It's absurd.
Do you have a floor length denim skirt? Could you all wear denim skirts for this?
Shoot, I do not.
Oh,
but you know what's funny is we were in Utah, and the area that we were in, at one point there was a lot of fundamentalist Mormons. And so they're the ones that wear the long skirts.
Right.
And I was behind three of them shopping together in Target. I don't know if they were sister wives, but in my mind they were.
Yeah.
They might have been sisters. Who knows? But they all had the really long hair. They don't cut it. And they all had them in like these fishtail braids, like the weird braid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? And then they all do the they take the front of their hair and they like poof it up.
Yes. Yes.
I guess like, they do that because they can't cut bangs and they want a little variety.
Yeah. I mean, and also the higher the hair, the closer to God.
Oh. But I was walking behind them and I'm like, I think my hair is as long as them.
You're like, I could pull this off.
Right, right. Like,
I could pull off this look.
Could you guys give me a little fishtail tutorial?
I cut all the girls' hair. And I think it's actually – I mean, I feel like you guys could do it. You guys are crafty.
Oh, I could. I've actually cut my girls' hair before. I don't know what my – I'm just being lazy. I could totally do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a YouTube tutorial. One daughter wanted a pixie. I cut off all of her curls.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's had this cool,
That's
short
impressive
haircut.
You did that yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I swear, like, YouTube yeah. really oh, saved yeah. the day on that one.
Oh, yeah.
How about you? What are your two thumbs up for the week?
Okay. Well, my first two thumbs up is it's more of a category.
Oh, okay.
But okay. So I've been trying to take my vitamins. I really have. I have a couple issues where I just, you know, my vitamin D is always a little bit low, and I'm also trying to take melatonin, and then I'm trying to take apple cider vinegar every day. And I have just found, and this is very childish, but I'm just going to fully admit, I am more motivated to take vitamins if they're gummies. I'm like a child.
Like, no, remember? I'm 100% with you on that. I'm 100% with you on that. I also just don't like, I'm a baby about pills, and I don't like swallowing them.
I don't
either. So if they're gummies...
Plus, I feel like when you take a multivitamin pill, my experience is like it tastes really bad, and then you're like burping it up later.
Yes, and it's also huge. They're so it's huge. Like it's like swallowing a horse pill.
Totally. So anyway, I've just like got a collection of gummies. Like I'm a child. It's like when I was a kid. Remember the Flintstone vitamins?
Oh yeah.
And you
orange
want,
were
like,
the best.
You were never going to forget. You're like, Mom, can I have my Flintstone?
Right.
So that's me. So here's the ones I'm taking. Nature's Way Alive, alive with an exclamation point.
Of course.
They have a really nice women's multivitamin gummy, and it tastes good. It's very fruity. It's got all the stuff. So I take that every day, Nature's Way Alive. Then I'm trying to take melatonin every night because it's good for you, number one. But they have also shown melatonin to be somewhat protective with COVID. Have you heard this?
Oh, no.
Isn't that interesting?
That is so interesting.
Now, again, it's not going to keep you from getting COVID, obviously.
Right.
But
right.
There are some studies that show that it can that there is a correlation between melatonin and better outcomes of the progression.
So well, in that case, why not? Yeah.
Why not? I mean, why not, right? Like melatonin, right. I mean, it's good for your sleep. So I take a JoySpring Sleepberry gummy that has melatonin in it. And then the apple cider vinegar, it's really good for you. I was trying to take it in a tablespoon.
Oh, it's so gross.
It's so gross. It's so gross. So I found these. Let me see the package. Be Live, like one word, Be Live, apple cider vinegar, and they're sugar-free gummies. And it's weird because they do taste like apple cider vinegar, but it's weirdly kind of yummy. I actually really like the way they taste.
Oh, it's not like offensive.
No, it's kind of sour and weird. Okay, so those are my gummy vitamins.
That's okay. When you take gummy vitamins, because I used to take the Smarty Pants ones, and
yeah,
I had to take
like those
six.
Too.
I had to take like six of them. Do you have
yes.
to take a bunch?
You kind of do. That is true. You have to take more than you think you would. Like the, well, let me see. Let me put my glasses on. I'm going to tell you. So the apple cider vinegar, you have to take two of. And the melatonin one, you have to take two of. Yeah, you usually have to take a little bit more. And I think it's just, I actually think it's because to make the taste tolerable, they can't pack all of it into one gummy.
One disgusting gummy.
Right. Like you wouldn't eat it then. Yeah. And then my other two thumbs up is, okay, so there's this company called DecoCrated. And you know, I love my automated boxes. Like
oh,
I love
yes.
subscription boxes. I'm just a total freak. I love my Fit Fab Fun. I love things coming in the mail. I love things I don't have to think about. So DecoCrated, they curate boxes with seasonal decor in it.
Oh.
It's really cool. And so, and I'll be honest, I have never been, I go big for Christmas, mm-hmm. but I've never been a fall decorator. Like I don't, and I actually decorate for Halloween, but I've always kind of failed with fall. So they send a box and I've actually been subscribed to them now for long enough that I got last year's fall box and then I just got this year's fall box. And it is really cute stuff. It's like it came with these like little velvet pumpkins and
aww.
Then they usually come with some artwork, some seasonal artwork. So there's like this how do you describe those? They're like posters, but they have words on them. So it says like
inspirational.
Yeah. So it says like, you know, cold nights and cozy, you know, drinks. And like, it's just a fall word poster. And then there was this wicker basket that I went and bought at Target. I got some like fall fake foliage to put in it. But so now I have like a really cute fall tablescape.
Aww.
And
I think
I
that's
never
so
would
nice.
Have done that myself.
I also think that's so nice for right now. It's just something, it's like,
yes.
It feels like the past 6 months have been a really long blur.
Yes.
So to go, oh, it's fall now. It's time to wear a sweater.
Oh, I completely agree. I completely agree. In fact, I got the box. I did a little tablescape. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to put fall in more places because I totally agree. It's like, it's nice to mark the season, mm-hmm. to have like a little differentiator in this like Groundhog's Day existence.
Yeah, and it's still warm here, but I was thinking like, maybe it's time to get a couple hay bales for the front porch, which is like a big thing here. You know, it's like hay bales and corn stalks. And
that is so funny. That is not a thing here in Southern California. I mean, I would love it, but I don't think I could get one. Like, I would, I'm fully into the aesthetic, but no one's selling them.
Yeah, you don't have like a farm right down the road where you go and pick up a bunch of hay bales. That's definitely a thing here. Everyone's got like a truck to throw a bunch of hay bales in.
That's cute.
So we'll do that. I love that. I love both of those two thumbs up. And I love that you have enough gummy vitamins a day where it's like that could be your substitute snack for watching a movie.
Oh,
like
it is.
Other people
snack.
Have Sour Patch Kids. It's like, hold on, let me just get all my vitamins.
I am eating the equivalent of a pack of Skittles and gummy vitamins every day. Today's episode is sponsored by EveryPlate. You guys know I love my subscription services, especially meal kits. They are a lifesaver for busy families. Every plate has a much lower price point. Even at regular price, every plate is about 58% cheaper than other major retail meal kits out there. And every plate dinners are a cheaper alternative to takeout or delivery. Their recipes come together in about 30 minutes, definitely faster than a trip to the grocery store or starting a meal from scratch. Every plate offers contactless delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking on a budget. They have easy to follow recipes and pre-portioned ingredients that takes the stress out of dinner time and meal planning. I personally find that these are great for kids and teens learning how to cook and great for parents who are stressed between work and school supervision. Every plate does the meal planning, shopping, and prepping for you, taking the time-consuming guesswork out of cooking. This week we tried every plate and my very favorite meal was a chicken that was topped with a grilled onion jam. All of my kids freaked out about this meal and loved it. It also had roasted carrots and mashed potatoes and was really easy to fix, and my teenagers made it independently. Every plate has a great deal for us right now. You can get 3 weeks of every plate meals for only $2.99 per meal by going to everyplate.com and using the code SELFIE3. Again, that's 3 weeks of meals for under $3 a meal at everyplate.com with the code SELFIE3. Kendra.
Hi, Kristen.
Well, I'm so excited to talk to you today because I feel like our books both have very similar messages, which is a message of opting out and letting ourselves off the hook and working smarter, not harder, and finding ways to stay sane and do, you know, maybe do the minimum.
Right. We could be lazy about some things.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yeah, it is okay.
Because there's no way you can be good at the things you care about, or you can give energy to the things that you care about.
No.
If you're caring about everything, like, you just can't.
No.
You've got to opt out of some things.
You do. Yeah, you have to. And I think, you know, it's interesting because you're an Enneagram 1, which means you're someone who likes order and structure. And I'm an Enneagram 3 who likes productivity and getting things done. And so, you know, I think for both of us, this isn't necessarily like a, I came out of the womb this way. It's more of a, wow, I took a real long journey. So tell me about your journey. You know, how did you get from Enneagram 1 to like, I can opt out and let things not be perfect?
Right. I mean, the obvious answer is like counseling.
Yeah,
and therapy and stuff.
I thought you were going to say children, but
counseling.
Counseling's cool.
It's both. But no, like I was thinking about like how was my order and craving for order and structure the mm-hmm. most like insane and like intense from before, and it was I had a year calendar on my fridge that was like a dry erase calendar, and I had in it I used a real simple like cleaning guide, like this is your guide for the year. And I wrote in every single day what I was supposed to do to clean my house, like every single day. And I kept it up forever.
Yeah.
I never did it. Yeah. I always felt bad that I wasn't doing it, but it was like, well, it looks good. And eventually when I get my act together, maybe I can clean my baseboards every other Tuesday.
Oh yeah.
I can wash my drapes because apparently people do that. And you know, and then the other thing that I did around that same time of life was I took a, like a notebook up to my closet and I made a list, including like I tried on every possible outfit combination that I owned.
Wow.
And I wrote down every single one and then I plugged them into a calendar because it seemed like the easier way than just getting dressed.
Just willy-nilly putting a piece of clothing on. I mean, it's definitely easier to photograph everything. Obviously, that's easier.
It was like an eight-hour endeavor. Oh my gosh. And I didn't even get the entire thing. I was like, I feel like I didn't understand math and like how many combinations there would be. It was a disaster. And I feel like it was around both of those, like realizing – I don't need to put this much structure around my life. This is causing more work than anything else.
Yes.
So that's my journey.
Yeah.
That's a good origin story.
Well, I just want to offer one piece of advice is just don't ever install your baseboards. I don't know if you're seeing that right there. Just go ahead and get the flooring down and then just be like in the renovation process, just be like, I'm tired now. I guess I don't need baseboards.
I don't understand baseboard, but you know, like there are a lot of, like shoe molding, like especially the one above the baseboard, like the little round thing.
Well, and,
like,
yeah.
There are lots of those things that, I mean, if you care about those things, like if you're Joanna Gaines, you really do need to care about baseboards.
You probably do care.
But like, we don't care and it's okay. We can all care about different things.
I am going to say I can't really advocate for this because it's just a crumb trap. The space between the flooring and then the wall is just like, now I'm like, that's why we have baseboards.
Maybe that's why they get dusty, because stuff does fall anyway. They say you're supposed to clean them.
Well, stuff and food. I'm just, I just not even like I eat up here, but somehow there's food.
I just have this vision of you standing as close to the wall as possible, like cramming pretzels in your mouth and watching.
I think what happens is you sweep and then like you sweep it into, it's like a little gullet for everything. Don't recommend.
Got it.
Anyway.
Got it.
So how, you know, talk to me about how you went from that to adjusting to more realistic standards for yourself, still having structure because, you know, you read a segment of your book that I love, which is like, we're kind of putting scaffolding together when we create some structure in our lives. But how did you find that kind of happy medium place?
It's the worst answer. I really do think it was having kids.
And yeah.
I mean, people can experience that in different ways, but it was like a little bit with each kid. I have three. And the first one was like a typical first one and he was the hardest of the babies. And so it was like, oh, I can't do anything. Like I couldn't do anything because he required so much attention and didn't sleep at all. It was like, if we got 15 minutes at a time, it was good. It was like a win. And so I think I just kind of, that was sort of like the falling apart phase of like, oh, I can't do anything. What does this mean for my value as a human? Like there was lots of reconciling all of that.
Yeah.
And then with my second, who was born 2 years later, I think it was more like, oh, I can do this. I've done this once. I kind of made it. Like I'm still a little nervous, but it's also like you have two kids under two. And I was just, there was no space to wonder if I was doing it right because there were too many people to take care of. And so
totally.
I apologize to Ben, my middle kid, all the time because I'm like, baby, I love you so much. I don't remember when you are a baby. I don't remember anything. I don't remember. Like poor middle kid. It just don't know. I don't remember.
Totally.
My husband will be like, you know, when Ben da da da, and I'm like, nope, I don't remember. So, so I think that was like survival.
Yeah.
But also, when you're surviving, you begin to figure out what works for you, and you begin to notice, like, all right, I have a very limited amount of time. I have an even more limited amount of energy. where am I going to put this where it's going to count?
Yeah.
And so I think I started to like, I don't know, almost like think critically about my home and my life and like, okay, so this matters more than this. And it was almost like just the wheat and the chaff. Is that the right analogy? Like just getting rid of like the
It's biblical. Excess. Yes. Is that biblical?
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yes.
Separating the wheat and the chaff. Look at me.
I did not know.
I was so holy.
Look at you.
So yeah, it was like, it was that practice of just starting to recognize like, oh, these things don't matter as much as I thought. And then when my daughter was born and she was a surprise and she was 4 years after Ben. And to the point where I was like, my husband had called to get a vasectomy. Like we were done. It was like a whole thing. There's actually a story of how I found out I was pregnant in the book where I took a, I took my pregnancy test in a dirty kickboxing gym bathroom. Cause I didn't think it would say pregnant.
No. Cause you just thought like, boop, just do it. Getting this over with. This will be nothing. And then I'll go on with my day.
I was going out for drinks that night and I was like, I feel like I should just be sure. Cause like, that's weird.
It was, so it was really more of a drinking test that like your concern was really drinking more than a child.
If I'm being honest, it was.
Confirming I can still drink.
Yes. And the great thing is it was one of those digital
fancy things.
So it was like the word pregnant. It's like it was all caps.
That's,
like
that'll hit. That's okay.
So and I mean I even talk about in the when I tell that story in the book, I mean I recognize like part it's in the chapter about living in your season because part of the thing that was so hard about that is I didn't want another baby. Like and I didn't know how to be honest about how I was feeling with people because there were people in my life who wanted the opposite, who couldn't get a baby.
Oh, totally.
And so it was just, and it was kind of like, I want us to opt in. If we're talking about opting out and opting in, I want us to also opt in to being okay, sharing our stuff with each other.
Yes.
And it being different stuff and it's still okay.
Oh like my gosh,
yes. Not wanting to have, I mean, obviously Annie is the delight of our lives and it's
of course.
All great. But like that doesn't change how I felt in the beginning.
Yeah.
And that it's okay for me to feel that way alongside a friend who's been waiting to adopt for 4 years. Like
totally.
That we can be there together, you know, that's really important. And, but anyway, I think after she was born, I just was like, well, here we are. Mm-hmm. We have three people to take care of. Mm-hmm. I just had started the Lazy Genius and it was like, I had to get smart about things, but I also wasn't really as stressed about being a mom and doing it right. And so it was just like with each kid, it like more layers just sort of fell off of like, this is what's essential here. This is who I am.
Yes.
Let's just be who I am. I'm like, let the other stuff go. It's fine.
Yes. Let the other stuff go. We both really talk about that in both of our books. I mean, it was funny as I read yours, I was like, well, these are companion books.
They really are. It's like a book flight. People should read ours together.
They should.
A book flight. I love it.
I do agree. But we both talk a lot about kind of opting in and opting out. What are – and just that that being a necessity for sanity, that we can't – we cannot do it all. No, that's not a thing. And we can't do it all perfectly. What are your personal opt-ins, opt-outs? What are the things that you've said, I can't?
Yeah.
And what are the things that you're like, I will die on this hill?
Yes. I actually loved, you have a whole chapter about that where you list your things and it made me so happy when I read it. It's the best thing ever. So my opt-ins are, my big umbrella is I want people to feel at home when they're with me. So I want them to feel at home in themselves, like as themselves. I want them to feel at home, like I'm a comfortable person. I want my home to feel comfortable, all that kind of stuff. And so what that kind of includes for me is like, I opt into cooking and like really enjoying feeding people. I opt into like a vibe, like I love myself a vibe. So it's like music and candles and like all the things and plants, like when people come over and they feel like, oh, this is like a lovely, comfortable place to be. So like I am my language, you have opt in, opt out, and mine is like, what are you genius about? What are you lazy about?
Yes.
And like I am such a genius about like making the perfect playlist. Like I care so deeply.
I appreciate that. I really do.
Like it's so important for like a mood and the things and it's just fine. So, so I actually really, I spend a lot of time on that kind of thing. I opt into, relationships that, like, I would rather have fewer, deeper relationships than, you know, like a lot of casual acquaintances. But that, and I feel like a decent number of people would say that, but I think that how that kind of comes out is, might make me sound kind of mean, but like, I don't really like initiate a lot of friendships right now.
No,
because I have, like, I want to be a good friend to the people that I already have.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of people I meet and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so rad. This is so great. I don't have time for this. I don't have time to be the kind of friend that I want to be. And so it's not that I'm like distancing or anything, but I just don't always.
I don't think it's mean. I think it's a values clarification, because the thing of it is too, in this culture that we're living in and the time that we're living in, we have the ability to meet cool, amazing people all the time. You know, I mean, the ability to, whether it's online or affinity groups, like it's almost like it's overwhelming. And that whole choice theory becomes debilitating, because it's like, wow, there's so many cool people I could pour into. Yeah. But if I don't make selections and choices, then I'm not pouring into anyone. Then it's just surfacey.
Right.
So I don't think it's mean.
Thank you for making me feel better.
Yeah, no, I actually think I do the same thing. I mean, I have many times said, like, my application window for friends is closed because I'm full up.
It's just, I get it. I feel that way. So those are a few things that I opt into. I'm opting out, like gardening, like anything yard related.
Oh, yeah.
Anything. I realize that this is like definitely a privilege of being a two income household. And, but like, it wasn't always that way. And our yard would just be like garbage. And my house cleaning would be on a calendar on the fridge, but not actually executed. So like, but now we have a house cleaner. Now I'm like, I'm going to hire somebody to come make our yard pretty. Like, I'm not doing that. I don't care. But I want it to look nice. I want it to feel like home. I want it to feel like home when other people come.
Yes.
Not from a performative standpoint, but because I think like the way that the yard and the house looks is I want it to be welcoming.
No, I do too.
But I can pay someone else to make it look that way.
Yeah. Well, so, I do as well. I pay for both of those things. And my thinking is like, I'm paying someone else to do those things so that I can spend those hours working. Like, it's a trade-off, you know, and I know that that's, you know, not a privilege afforded to everyone, but for me, it's like, if I cleaned my house by myself once a week, it would take me about 6 hours. Oh my gosh. And for sure, my billable rate of 6 hours is more than what I'm paying to have it cleaned. Like, it's a math problem to me.
Yeah,
like,
it is. Yeah.
You know, I am spending that time better if I'm working. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, and then also just being honest, I would not clean to that level.
Totally. The first time we had a house cleaner, and it's been just the last 6-9 months maybe that we started like paying someone to come.
Yeah.
And the first time that my kids came home after she had cleaned the house, they were like, it's so shiny in here. It's like they had never, it was like they were seeing the house in a way that they've never seen it before. It's like, mommy doesn't make it this shiny. But yeah, I opt out of like the, like a lot of the, I was going to say typical mom culture, which sounds dismissive, and I don't mean it for it to. I don't really need to be in the classroom.
Nope.
That's just, I trust the teachers. If I didn't, maybe it would be different.
Yeah.
You know, like but the way it is now, it's like, no, you guys are doing great.
Yeah.
I'll pick them up at 3:45.
Totally. And like, my school has some very involved room moms, and that fills their bucket, and it does not fill mine.
Right.
I will show up. I will run the school talent show.
Nice.
I do that. That's my little niche. Yes. There's nothing that makes me happier than, you know, just a parade of girls singing Frozen songs.
Next year, it's going to be Hamilton song.
I'm always trying to predict what's this song going to be.
Uh-huh.
There's always a song. It was Million Miles Away from, gosh, the circus musical.
The Greatest Showman.
This is what being in your 40s is like. I just also want to say is that I could see the marquee in my head. I could sing all the songs. I could name all the actors. But the name of the movie, not there. Just not there. Yes, The Greatest Showman.
We'll blame that on the naming of the movie. And not
sure. And then it was a song from Moana one year, mm-hmm. which I'm also just going to say that no fifth grader has the chops to sing. I'm also the mean mom who's like, my daughter's like, I think I'm going to sing, you know, such and such. And I'm like, do you have the range for that? No, you don't.
The other day, my 10-year-old, bless him, I love him with my whole heart. He has like no clarity about his own skill level.
Oh, yeah.
And the other day, he just had like a clean kick with the soccer ball. It was just like, it was like a good solid kick. He's not super great.
Yeah.
Because that one kick was like, oh, wow, good job. Ooh. Like, that doesn't usually happen.
Surprise!
And he was like, he goes, maybe I could be the next Lionel Messi. I was like, that was a big jump. Like, a big jump. He wanted to fish. And then he said, he like just got the desire in his head that he wanted to like start fishing. And he went and caught fish one time. He went fishing with my mom one time. And he came home and he said, Mom, is there a junior fishing league? And I said, well, yeah, why? Because, you know, well, I want to be a fisherman. I was like, well, did you put the bait on the hook or did Nana do it? Well, Nana did it. Did you reel it in or did Nana do it? Well, Nana did it. Did you take the fish off the hook or did Nana do it? Well, Nana did it. I feel like we've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
For junior fishing league.
So are you the mom who, like, I have to admit this, I have a hard time holding my tongue when my kids say just unrealistic things.
Oh,
like,
my gosh,
you know, my son's like, I'm going to be a rapper on SoundCloud. And I'm like, no, you won't. That will never happen. Because that doesn't have, everyone's a rapper on SoundCloud.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
You'll never make money. Like, I have such a hard time not just letting my kids be kids, because I'm sure I said stupid. I think I wanted to be like, you know, a fashion designer for the Oscars, which isn't even a job, like, at that age, you know, like, I'm sure I said all kinds of bullshit things, but I'm like love's executioner over here. Like, no, that's not realistic.
I don't know. I just feel like the reality, like, yeah, they need to have, yes, some reality in them.
Yes.
Gosh, man. Yeah, when Sam's like, I'm going to be Lionel Messi, it was really, I don't know. Here's the thing. Maybe there's a difference, and I haven't found it yet. I'm sure there's a difference in, like, I don't want to shame them for dreaming that.
No, of course not.
Obviously. And then, but it feels like the space in there is like your baseboard gullet. It's like just, yes, narrow enough to be really dangerous. Where I'm like,
totally.
So am I being a reality? Is this reality check, or am I just like dashing?
I know.
I'm not quite sure which one it is.
I just bite my tongue. This is what I tell myself all the time. If they're still saying this at 18,
sure,
then I will intervene.
We'll have a conversation.
And in the meantime, I'm just going to keep introducing other ideas besides being a rapper on SoundCloud.
Yeah. No, I hear that. I hear that. Good gracious. I wanted to be a sports broadcaster.
Well, that's kind of cool.
I mean, it was. But it was also like when I got further in and I looked at now it's much more progressive and you've made a few more strides. But at the time, 20 years ago, it was all tall blonde ladies. All of them.
Yes.
And they were only on the sidelines forever. And I wanted to be at the desk. And I looked at the desk and I was like, the desk is all white dudes. I don't know. And then the line to get to the desk is all blonde ladies.
Uh-huh.
I just don't know that this is my future. So I decided to become a high school English teacher.
I mean, it's almost the same thing. Almost the same thing. Well, I wanted to be an actress, a Broadway actress. And I studied that in college.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's so cool.
And then, like, my senior year of college, I'm like, so this is, like, basically a night job. So you work every night, every single night. When the whole world is coming back from work, you and your actor friends go to work. Wow. And every party that happens at night or every activity you miss the whole world. And it was because I was doing shows.
You miss the whole world.
You kind of do.
I love that.
I was doing shows and I had a lot of friends and I was married by that point that weren't in the theater lifestyle. And it's like, I couldn't do anything. Wow. Like, oh, birthday party. Oh, we're meeting for drinks. Oh, session's like, okay, well, I'm going to rehearsal or I have a show.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe I shouldn't have spent 4 years studying this.
I feel like a solid 80% of people who do have a 4-year degree would say, like, should I have spent 4 years studying that? Like, really, you know, it's just, what are you gonna do?
All right, talk to me about, you talk in your book about this concept of deciding once, mm-hmm. which I felt attacked. but talk to me about that concept.
Well, now I'm afraid to say it because I don't want you to feel attacked. Why did you feel attacked, Kristen? Tell me, say words
it's,
about why.
That is a that is a struggle for me. Okay. That is a real struggle. Being in a loop.
Too much of a commitment?
Being in a loop of indecision.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But deciding once means that you get out of the loop.
No. Mm-mm. I'll decide and then I'll think about it in bed for a few hours.
Okay. Like you change it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, well, but talk about why you do that and why that's important.
Well, the reason that I care about, and that's deciding once is actually the very first principle of the 13 in the whole book. So it's it feels really important. I feel very attacked by you saying that, but no. Basically it's like, I mean, you know, we already talked about like all the decisions and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there are just so many things to choose. And I just got really tired of choosing things all the time. And then when you have kids, it's like they need decisions. They need you to make decisions for them on their behalf.
Yes.
That sometimes they fight you with too. And then that requires more energy and it's just lots of stuff. So I think that there are things in our lives that we can choose one time.
Yes.
That we really don't have to choose again. So it's not that you decide once for everything. That would be, that turns you into a robot. That's not the point. It is choosing one time in areas where it just feels like the energy required to make the decision is not energy you want to give it. And so it's like, is there one thing that I could choose right now that would like make this a lot easier? So like a couple of examples would be like, I have a Monday uniform. Like I wear the mm-hmm. same thing every Monday. And I like things that you like Taco Tuesday is kind of like deciding once. Like we're going to have tacos on Tuesday.
Yes.
Like done. You can make decisions within that, you know, like, you can change it up within that. That's great. Things like kid birthday parties, like your kid's friends, when they're invited to a birthday party, and you're like, oh, we have to buy a present. And what do we buy them? I don't know this kid. Do you know this kid? And they're like, no, I just go to school with this kid. Okay, great. So what do we do? And that you could decide once, we always get a board game. For every gift for a kid, we get a board game. Or we get a puzzle. Or we get a whatever. Mm-hmm. And so just things like that that feel stressful.
Yeah.
Decide one time and then let it go.
I actually totally love that concept. And I do practice it quite a bit. I do struggle with indecision though, that I can be very paralyzed and, you know, like we're taking a vacation and I will research hotels for 5 hours, you know, just spending more time than the actual vacation coming to decisions. But no, I love that decide once thing. And I think especially for parents of a lot of kids, it's so useful to reduce fighting too, you know, like one of the decide once things we have at my house is everyone just sits in the same seat in the car always.
Oh, nuts.
There's no fighting because I just got so tired of like every time we're getting in the car, like I have to do some conflict management. So like, no,
this feels unnecessary.
Yeah. Like everyone sits in their seat or, you know, everyone has like, this is how we clean up after dinner. These are the roles that everyone plays. Like for me, a lot of that is just, it's not wanting to do conflict resolution with four kids every time. So it's just kind of like, this is how we do it.
Yeah. And you know, I wonder if with the, like the indecision and being in the loop and stuff, I wonder, it could be for you that like the reason that you feel in a loop with some of those things is because those things really feel like they matter.
Yeah. Oh yes.
You don't want to be, you know, so like, I don't think that there is a lot, of help in deciding once in an area that matters, because if it matters, you want to be more intentional about it. If it's an opt-in for you, it's like, no, I want to keep thinking about this. Like, I want to keep deciding about this because it's that important. It's things that are not important. Like, you're going to be like, no, we're going to buy a puzzle every time. They're going to get a puzzle and they'll be fine.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that too. And that is another one I do. We have a closet of gifts. Like, I just, when I see something on sale at Target, I buy 5 of them.
Nice.
And then it's like, great, I'm glad you have a birthday party. You can go to the closet and choose your gift. And they're like, but she really, really loves, you know, My Little Pony. And I'm like, cool. These are the options. None of them are My Little Pony. I think everyone will be okay.
Yeah. Well, even like another thing, because when we were talking about kids and like all the mom stuff, like you've got Teacher Appreciation Day and the first day of school and the last day of school and Christmas and like all the things that you do for your teacher, even just choosing one time what you're going to get, like when you're going to give the teachers a gift and what it is.
Yes.
So it's like we do something on those main days, but it's like they get the same book at Christmas.
Yes.
They get a gift card for Teacher Appreciation Day and they get like a card the last day of school, like a handwritten thank you kind of thing. So it's like, just sort of know. And then you don't, I find myself like resenting people who are making me use energy that I don't want to give.
Oh, yes.
Which is like the worst. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be
totally.
Like, oh, you want to be appreciated today? Like, like this is amazing. Yes. I want to appreciate them. But because we're adding in the extra, like we don't have as much margin for that because that's not like part of regular life.
Yeah.
To know this is what I'm going to do. When Teacher Appreciation Day comes around, you're like, oh, yay, we get to appreciate them with this thing that I already decided we're going to do.
Yes.
And then it doesn't feel, you're not resenting that teacher for like needing to be appreciated.
No, it's so true. And that's another area I can just get in a loop of like overthinking gifts. I definitely do that. Overthinking gifts, overthinking, you know, what am I going to get? Should I, you know, I have these things and who's getting what? Yeah. I can spend a lot of time in those loops.
Yeah. It's just, it's a lot. It's a lot. We want to get you out of the loops.
Yes. Yes. And I think, you know, so much of it is just being intentional and kind of planning ahead. That seems to be, you know, a huge help.
Yeah. One of the other principles in the book is to ask the magic question.
Yes. Talk about that.
And the magic question is, what can I do now to make life easier later?
Yes.
And then you can sub in life for any word that you want.
So yes. Like,
what can I do now to make the last day of school easier later? Oh, I'm going to buy 6 of these things that are actually like really beautiful and valuable that I think the teachers would enjoy and put them in that gift closet and then put a sign on it that says, don't give this to your friends when it's their birthday.
Totally.
So it doesn't get lost.
Yeah.
Like, just to sort of think ahead one thing at a time, you know, like you don't have to magic question every single thing 37 steps worth. Just like, what's one thing I can do right now? And you're right. That forethought really helps.
One decide once and magic question combo for me is, I pre-order and keep a stash of napkins and plates. And whenever there's a class party and the sign-up sheet goes out, I am like, plates! I will take the plates. Brilliant. And then I don't have to cook or bake. And I have the plates. I don't have to go to the store. I don't have to, you know, the plates are available.
Oh, that's so... smart.
I'm the plate lady.
I do something similar with like when you have to, you don't have to, but like when the expectation is to be the parent that hosts one of the preschool holiday parties, because there are so many of them.
Yes.
And there are not as many kids. So like, I got to do a party at some point. It's fine. But I always get Christmas, even though it feels like Christmas is like, wait, what?
That
Christmas?
Seems like more work.
It does seem like more work. Let me back up a little bit. I would do Christmas if it's like a pairing thing.
Yeah.
Someone else can do the work stuff. And then I can do like, I will get all the plates and the napkins and the things that are like festive and whatever you want to do. But one thing that I did start doing with my daughter, I did the Christmas with my boys because they've all gone to same preschool. And one of the things I started doing with my daughter is I would sign up for the very, very first party because I was not going to give goodie bags. I was not going to do like any, I wanted to give permission with my own party.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, guess what? Here it's
well, lower the standard.
Lower the standard. Just like do the easiest thing. The kids don't care.
No.
Like they really, really don't care. Mm-hmm. Because if you do the party after the person who literally sends home a goodie bag that's worth like $25 of stuff for this, it's like, what are we doing here?
I know.
And I know that she didn't want to do that because she told me. You know, like I know that if that mom had cared, it would be different. Like, but you can sort of feel when people are doing things because they think they should.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I love that play idea. Anything that we can do to just be like, what can we do? What can we make? What can we do to make class parties easier later? We're just going to buy a whole lot of plates.
Well, I feel like that whole, the magic question is so important, especially when kids are closer to my age, because it's like, a lot of it is getting ahead of how can I take the time now to teach my kids to do things that will make my life easier later. You know, like taking the time to teach them to cook, which is a pain in the ass. Like, it truly is, you know? Like, I would so much rather be like, move and give me my own kitchen and let me drink a glass of wine and listen to a podcast and make a dinner. But it's like, I have really put the work in to, like, teach them how to cook. And let me tell you, my 13-year-old pulled off, like, a full from-scratch chicken piccata last night without any supervision.
Wow.
But it was a lot of freaking work to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why I always say, which I think is similar to your magic question, pay now or pay later. Like, I really do think that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you can do some work ahead of time, now she's 13, she can cook for me for 5 years.
Yeah.
Got 5 years of her living in this house.
There's so many dinners in front of you. This is amazing.
No.
Yeah. No, that's totally true. And that's really encouraging to me because, like, my daughter, who's four, she has better, like, coordination in the kitchen than my boys do, who are 8 and 10. Like, they just are like, what do I do with, the other day? And yet, then they're like, they pick up a knife, like a big old, like, chef's knife to cut off the green part of a strawberry, and their hands are, and they're like, is this what I do? And I'm like, that's, you know, and yet my daughter is like, can almost make pumpkin bread, like, on her own. Like,
wow.
She can whisk things, and I just give her the stuff, and she can crack eggs like a champ. And my boys we would eat shells and everything. Like, it's just so that I receive that like, that is not work that I've have any desire to put in, because one of my only, like, times alone is when they're all on screens and I'm making dinner. Like, that's when I get their screen time.
Yeah.
And so you're right, though, that, like, if that's what I do from here on out, eventually they're going to leave and they're not going to know how to make anything. And which is still kind of okay for me, but then not, because I care about them and I want them to be able to feed themselves. So you're right. It's kind of like, another principle in the book is to start small. And because what I want to do in this situation is be like, okay, so Sam is Monday, Ben is Tuesday.
Yes.
Like, everyone gets a day or whatever. Uh-huh. Like, no, how about we just try one time? Like,
try
one time and see how it goes. And we'll start small with the one kid. And, cause you're right. That does feel like a really worthy thing. But it's so much work.
But here's the thing too. And I think we both preach this message in our books, is it's different for every mom, right? I mean, there's some mom who's going to opt into the party full tilt because that pushes her buttons. And, you know, for me, I don't really like to cook. I want my kids to do it for you if you love to cook. Like, you know, I think that's the freedom in this. It's not prescriptive. It's just you opt into the things that are important to you, and that might be totally different than what I opt in or opt out of, or, you know, where your magic question lands you might be totally different than where it lands me.
Exactly. And that's why I love, like, both of us have language that is just, that is, like, guiding principle led.
Yeah.
It's not prescription led.
Right.
It's just like, this is how you can think about it. And then you make the choice that makes the most sense for you.
Yep.
And, that's really good. Cause I do like to cook but I also have a desire for them to feel confident in the kitchen.
Yeah. But then if that's there. The case, then you can wait till they're like 17 and then
that
like,
do?
Yes. And then you can just launch them when they have better motor skills, you know?
Right now it is a situation.
Oh, I mean, let me tell you, she did execute a very beautiful and tasty lemon piccata, but the kitchen looked like something exploded. Like, just this morning I went back in and I was like cleaning off burnt pieces of pasta that were stuck around the burner, you know, just like glued onto the, like, how did this much pasta get outside of the?
I feel like this is the same mental space for me as like when your kid wants to be a rapper on SoundCloud and you're like, no, can we just not do this anymore? Mm-hmm. Can we just shut this down?
Canceled.
What's on the other side? It's too much work.
I know.
Oh, man. But you're right. Everybody's different. Every life stage is different. Every kid is like, our kids change and suddenly like can hold a knife and not injure someone and all the things. So, yeah.
Well, and every kid is different. I mean, I've been trying to meal plan, which I've always failed at. And I have been putting my kids in charge of dinner. But it's like, I have some kids that I know, like, I can give you a scratch recipe and you can make it. And then I have other kids where it's like, I think you can handle reheating these meatballs and microwaving this bag of rice. You know, and they're like, I want to make. And I'm like, no.
No, you're not ready.
I've seen you.
You got to crawl before you can walk, man.
You're going to microwave things. Probably till you leave home.
That's going to be like the one thing that you're like for sure in like their first apartment or dorm. It's like you get a microwave.
Totally.
Not having. Oh, man.
Thank you, Trader Joe's frozen rice.
Oh, my gosh. And that that chicken, like that Mandarin chicken, that alone. Have you tried that yet?
So good.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good. It's the one meal that has made my husband, who's not, it's not that he doesn't cook. Like he lived without me for years, but he ate saltines like pretty consistently as meals, which I don't recommend. I remember coming to his like condo the first time and I was like, so what, we should make something for dinner, like when we were like first dating or whatever. And I opened up stuff and it was like, there's juice, there's crackers, there's salsa. I don't see much else. What is happening in here? But no, like that sort of has been like a, that chicken has been a, like a catalyst for him being like, oh, I can do meals.
I can cook.
It's pretty great. So I need to do that with the kids. You're right. My,
well, maybe not yet. Yours are still pretty young. You like to cook.
I do. My oldest made me spaghetti and meatballs for Mother's Day.
Oh.
Which is what every mom wants to eat.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't get more gourmet than that.
No, it's not that we eat it once a week. It's fine. Totally. But he was so proud because he was like, Mom, I made your sauce, because my sauce is on my website. And he's like, Dad helped me and I made your sauce. But I thought it would be better if I put some, what did he call it? Oregano in it. And I was like, bless you, you precious child. You go in and put your oregano in there. But now, whatever I make tomato sauce, he's like, are you making mine or yours? Because mine's a little bit better. It's so fun. They're so fun.
I have a kid who really wants to add new things. Like, I'll be like, it's just straightforward. You're just heating up this sauce. And then he will find seasonings and put them in. And then he won't tell. And then he'll sit at the table and have this, like, what do you think? You like it? And then I'm eating it. And I'm like, what did you do?
Why did you put cinnamon in the stir-fry sauce? Totally. What is happening?
Every time, I'll have to be like, add nothing. There's enough garlic in it. There's enough seasoning in it. We don't need hot sauce. That's individual choice.
I was going to say, that's customizable at the table. Yes. Not right now.
This kid does this at every meal. Like, bless he just him. Thinks he can improve, which, you know, that's the kid. I'm like, again, maybe not a rapper on SoundCloud, but perhaps you could be a chef. We see some natural ability and creativity here.
So good.
All right. Well, where can people find you online?
At The Lazy Genius. I'm pretty much on Instagram. I have opted out of Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all the other things, pretty much. Like, I'm kind of there, but I'm not there.
Yeah.
So I'm on Instagram at The Lazy Genius. And I have a podcast, The Lazy Genius podcast. My book's called The Lazy Genius Way. Basically, if you Google Lazy Genius, you'll find
it. You'll land there somewhere.
Because that's what everything is named. So it's fun.
Thank you so much. All right, well, we have a sponsor that we want to talk about today. The sponsor is Orate. They are a fine jewelry maker in New York City. They were founded by women for women, so we love that fact about them. And they were founded on this desire to shake up the jewelry market by offering modern, beautiful designs, but at good quality with affordable prices. They are ethically sourced pieces, which we love, that you can wear every day. They range from classic and dainty styles. You know, they have some of the like small, dainty stuff. And then they also have some like modern chunky statement pieces. So I got myself an Orate ring. I'm in love with it. It is gold. It is like it's like a double band. And then in between the band is a big chunky rectangle. So very modern. And it's actually really comfortable. Rue, what did you get?
I ended up getting, so I have three holes in one ear and two in the other.
Oh, so do I.
Oh, and I like the odd number. I like how it's not perfect. But then I love to wear one long threader in just one ear. Mm-hmm. So I got a really pretty gold threader with a little citrine gem at the end. Ooh, cool. And it is just a nice little touch. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I feel like a nice small piece of jewelry can really elevate even just, you know, you're wearing a t-shirt and joggers or whatever. So I really like mine. It's really pretty.
That's awesome. And we love that they're made ethically in New York City. And for every piece sold, a child in need receives a book to further their education.
So for 15% off an Orate purchase, you can go to orateneworkcom/selfie.
That is A-U-R-A-T-E newyork.com
for 15% off your first Orate purchase with the code selfie.
Hi guys, I'm BJ, and I'm an emotional wellness coach. In my private practice, we address trauma, attachment wounds, and the roles they play in how we show up in our lives today. I've found my self-care has a profound impact on my mental fitness, so I'm here to invite you into the journey of emotional self-care. Once again, you ladies brought it. So many great questions this week. Several of you asked about strategies for self-care, and you asked specifically on behalf of essential workers. With summer ending, we now have a whole slew of essential workers re-entering the workplace, our teachers. And I am seeing so much anxiety and fear among you as we talk about the challenges of starting school back up. Even if you're not an essential worker, the pandemic continues to wreak havoc on our emotional well-being, and self-care can actually feel almost like another burden. We can all take our cues from essential workers, and I have a lot of seasoned nurses around me, so I reached out to one of them and asked her what's gotten her through the pandemic so far. What she said was really quite remarkable. Cassie said she needed to feel emotionally connected to her coworkers. She felt she needed it to feel more like friendship so that she would know that they were all in it together. I needed camaraderie, so work became almost like summer camp. We traded groceries, bought each other baby wipes if someone couldn't get to the store. At a time when no one could see anyone, we still had each other. It also helped me to stay in touch with my friends I no longer work alongside, because at least they knew what I was going through. In fact, Cassie's friends and parents checked in with her almost daily, and they seemed to instinctively know not to ask her 100 questions at the end of a shift. They just let her share whatever she needed to and left it at that. But this might be the most significant thing Cassie did. Early in the pandemic, she and her husband started making silly videos to send out to their friends. It was completely out of character for her husband, so she was really surprised. But what she said next was important. I sincerely think those videos saved us. I believe Tom saw that I needed a make-believe place to go mentally, and he came with me, all in, no questions asked. Listen, it's time to get creative with our self-care. I'm not saying you have to put on costumes and make funny videos, but don't underestimate the power of play or of creativity, of endorphins, and don't undervalue the power of asking for your needs to be met. If no one in your circle is recognizing what you need for your mental health, sit them down and tell them, and also ask them how you can support theirs. Don't minimize the need for boundaries just because they're difficult to set. Listen, we all got caught off guard by this. We were thrown into the unknown, left to sink or swim. We had no idea what lay ahead, much less how to plan for it. So here we are, 6 months later, and I swear some of us are still struggling just to tread water. In addition to all of this, there's a problem that most of us have in relationship that's playing a role here. We have a lot of expectations that the people we live with should know by now what we need. Many of us find ourselves in a constant state of disappointment and resentment over it too. It's time to lower your expectations. And by lower, I mean throw them out completely. Any expectation that's not been previously agreed upon is an unfair expectation. I'm going to say that again. If your partner hasn't been informed of an expectation you have of him or her and agreed to it, it's an unfair expectation. Before the pandemic, my husband David worked up in Hollywood. 3 evenings a week, he was gone till about 9:30 at night, and they were the nights that I worked long days. As an introvert, when I finish a day with clients, I need time to recharge so I can do it again the next day. So when the pandemic started, we spent at least 2 to 3 weeks discussing how to give each other the space we needed. And honestly, that conversation got revisited over and over again for at least 2 to 3 months before we finally found a rhythm. And I can tell you, even today, when things get really stressful and we don't have time to recharge, we have to address it again. And we do. So this is what I'm going to suggest for you if you've not done this already. Sit down with your partner, better yet, your whole family. Start by asking this question. Let's pretend it's week one of the pandemic, except this time we know exactly what's coming. What do you need right now that would make getting through this easier? Give them time to share and try not to get defensive. This is not about what anyone's done wrong so far. This is about how can we make this easier moving forward for everyone. If you do this as a family, it's really important to also set a time aside to do it with your partner. Express what you need individually from them. But here's the deal. This is not where you're going to go in and ask people to do something to make you feel better. This is not, I need you to bring me flowers every Friday so I know you care about me. No, this is, on work days, I think I need 30 minutes of uninterrupted downtime between work and starting dinner. Would you be willing to be responsible for the kids during that time and let me take a walk or have the bedroom to myself? Or maybe on Tuesdays, my long days, would you be willing to be responsible for dinner that night? I don't care if it's takeout, but it would be so helpful if you could just order it, gather the kids to the table, get cleanup done without me. That would help me be in a better frame of mind to help the kids with homework after dinner and maybe be able to spend some time with you too. Negotiate these agreements rather than creating expectations that are certain to go unmet. By the way, this is what setting boundaries looks like. It's really pretty simple. Not easy, but simple. And the great thing about it is if someone fails to hold up their end of the bargain, it's just another conversation to be had rather than a resentment to nurture. One last thing. I hear a lot of you feel guilty whenever you take time away for yourself. I think we need to have that discussion over in our Facebook group. I'd also like to see you share how your conversations with your family and your partners go.
Hey, thank you for joining us.
Continue the self-care conversation with us on Instagram at Selfie Podcast and in the Selfie Podcast community group on Facebook.
You can also visit our website to check out the resources we've talked about in each episode at selfiepodcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to Selfie on iTunes so you can catch up with us next week. Take care.